Okay, thanks. Yeah, I forget that, as Dove knows, about a week or so ago, I updated the driver, and now I have to go back and forth. I can either speak or I can listen, but I can't do both. So when I am recording others, I need to get my computer set to listen. When I'm speaking, I need to get my computer set to speak, and sometimes I forget to change it back and forth. And eventually, I'd like to get in here and see if I can figure out how to make it so I can do both. But I haven't had that time yet, so forgive me for forgetting to switch the settings. Anyway, here's what I was saying. I said, "Hi, Jasmine." And Danielle, and I was telling y'all that they are up in the kitchen. They are cooking a gluten-free pizza, and then we have called Domino's, and we've ordered a couple more pizzas. Basically, since I am teaching from 5 to 6 our time, and then right when I'm done, Lisa and Bill teach from here 6 to 7, we don't have that time to sit down and eat that we normally have. So we're having pizza, and they can eat pizza while I'm teaching. Then I can eat pizza while they're teaching. And then when everybody's done teaching, Jasmine and Danielle also made some apple crisp today. So then we will sit down and have dessert together. So that's how this day is working. And no, not the cheesy crust today, Laurent, although we love that. We love that, and Jasmine wants to do that again. We will be doing that at some time, I'm sure, but not tonight. Let's see, we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the time that I'm going over the personal messages that have been given to me in order to be personally helpful to me. And right now, specifically, we're in that year and a half when Laurent and I were together, and the messages were for both of us. And even more specifically, the messages that are arriving now are arriving while Laurent is in Paris, and I am in North Carolina. And tonight we are going to look at a message called Now the Real Work Begins. And I am going to give you all a link to that message. So there is your link to Now the Real Work Begins. What I would like to do, of course, before I start is choke some more. Hold on, let me have some more water. All right, now that that's done, what I would like to do is say a prayer. So if y'all would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I am closing my eyes in gratitude as I always do. And this time, for the first time, what has come to my mind as I close my eyes in gratitude is Muji. So I will take a moment to say thank you for Muji. Muji, of course, is our self. It is very, very clear to me that Muji is our self. And he speaks for our self. And this is why we listen. I've noticed it seems that we are attracted to him like moths to light. The first I heard of him is when Laurent went to be with him. After that, it seemed that many, many people sent me YouTubes and prompts to listen to him, and I didn't for quite some time. But this year I began. Right now, my friend Lisa Hansen is in London. She will be spending time at his satsang this coming weekend. And two other friends, Norma Clark and Mary Clark, are also flying to London later in the week for the same purpose. One friend recently came here, Francine, and she gave me Muji gifts, Muji books, Muji CDs. It seems like Muji is everywhere. And we are all listening. And to me, that is just a symbol. It is a symbol that we are ready to be still and listen to our heart. Whether our heart speaks through a Jamaican man, Tony Moo Young, whom we call Muji, whether it speaks through another body, or whether we are able to just be still and listen to it directly, Let's listen. Whatever form we're able to hear, let's listen. Let's not be concerned about the form. Let's just recognize ourself, our heart, our voice, when it speaks, and let's listen. Amen. All right. Oh, and let's see. Yeah, I noticed that Maz wrote in Muji with a G, and then Cynthia wrote in the correct spelling, Muji, M-O-O-J-I. The J-I is somewhat standard after many teachers' names, you know, like Papa G, right? We joke around and play with Puppet G, right? Muji. Mu is was this man's original surname. It was actually a hyphenated name, but Mu was a part of it. So Muji is where this comes from. And this is how we fondly know him now. And Maz, if you have not had the chance to listen to Muji yet, you might enjoy him. Maybe not, but it seems that many people do. All right, so what we're going to do is look at Now the Real Work Begins. I have given a link, but I will give the link again. Let's see. If either of you guys like to read along, I have it here. I don't know if you're followers of words. It's right here. Now the Real Work Begins. Okay. So it looks like it started with an open-ended question. It looks like I sat down and said, Holy Spirit, you know our questions, which of course would have referred to Laurent and me. And instead of asking those specific questions, whatever they were that day, I just said, what would you share with us today? And this is the answer that we got from Spirit. By the way, this is November 9th, 2007 on reginadonacres.com for those of you who look it up by date. All right, here we go. I have been talking to you about letting go of the personality, and you have given your willingness to do this. For this, I am grateful. I am grateful because I see that you have decided to listen to the whisper of your truth. I know this is your truest desire. I am grateful to you for listening to yourself. And I mentioned a few weeks ago during another teaching where we were looking at letting go of fear and letting go of personality as ultimately being the same. I mentioned in that particular teaching that Laurent and I were perfectly put together, at least in my case, for me, I don't know about him, Laurent and I were perfectly put together to help me see the need for letting go of personality. You could say that I knew it was my job to love Laurent. I knew that. And yet if I was going to stay with the personality, because we seemed to be so different at that level, I don't know that it would have worked at that level. It seemed like if I was to fulfill the request that Holy Spirit made of me, that I needed to let go of that level. I needed to let go of the personality. And it was very clear to me that my personality was only going to be an obstacle to loving Laurent. So we were perfectly put together to encourage my willingness to let go of the personality. And I mean really encourage my willingness. You know, it's very easy to talk about these things. It's really easy to talk about letting go of our personality, which includes letting go of our personal value systems. But it's a completely different thing to do it. But my relationship with Laurent gave me the eyes to see that if I was going to love the way I was being asked to love, I needed to let go of the personality, because the personality and the personal values were clearly an obstacle to the goal. And so that, again, is why I gave my willingness. I just saw, yes, it's true, this needs to be done. I mean, it's absolutely true. It's not going to work if I don't do it. And so I gave my willingness to let go of the personality So moving on, I see several people have entered the room, so let me post one more time the link to the message. And what I'm going to do is move on to the second paragraph. So now that we have given our willingness to let go of the personality, Holy Spirit says, now the real work begins. For you have made a commitment, and this commitment was not made lightly. And as I just described, it wasn't made lightly. I saw clearly that this decision needed to be made. Either that or I had to say, sorry, Holy Spirit, I'm going to stop now, or I'm not going to do this. And that wasn't in me. It's always been in me to follow guidance. I don't know why, it just is. So if I was going to do what I was being asked to do, I needed to let go of the personality. And I understood that completely. And Laurent says same for him. I understood that completely, and so I was completely willing. So here we go again. Now the real work begins. For you have made a commitment, and this commitment was not made lightly. I think your girlfriend wants me, Laurent. Hold on one second. Jamie, do you want to go outside? Okay. Bill's going to take care of her. All right. Now the real work begins. You have made a commitment, and this commitment was not made lightly. It was made in seriousness through the true desire of the heart. Once such a commitment has been made, it cannot be taken back, because you shall not truly desire that it be taken back. Your mind is made up. For this I am grateful. So what Spirit is describing is what we all call a point of no return, that in seeing clearly that the personality was merely an obstacle to love, and in wanting fully to love as we were being asked to love, we made a decision to let go of the personality. And Spirit is saying that the way this decision was made, you know, it wasn't made lightly. It was made in harmony with the true desire of the heart, and it was a decision we would not let go of. Now, that doesn't mean that after making the decision we couldn't drag our feet, because we always have the option to drag our feet. But what happens once the decision is made? If we drag our feet, we actually suffer more, because now we're out of harmony with our own decision. So obviously it behooves us to make the decision and then at a conscious level stay in touch with the same love, the same desire that was with us when we made the decision, and not drag our feet, right? And as Spirit points out to us the ways to let go of the personality, to continue to say yes, to continue to say yes. The more we say yes, the more we're in harmony with ourselves, and the more joy we will experience as we let go of the personality. Once the decision is made, however, if we try to drag our feet, because now we're going to be out of harmony with ourselves, we really are going to experience some pain. So it's important to look at the decisions that we've made and to realize, I made this decision, I want to do this, and therefore I'm going to stay on board with this decision. Holy Spirit continues with the next paragraph. Oh, I see Lord Blue has his hand up. Lord Blue, do you want to post something? When you talk about letting go of personal values, is helping other people also a personal value that one should let go of? I can't get into that on an individual basis. The answer is sometimes yes and sometimes no. Believe it or not, sometimes the desire to help other people is actually coming from ego, and there's other stuff behind it. Sometimes the desire to help other people is coming from Spirit. So, again, I can't answer for any individual, but it's sometimes yes and sometimes no, and that's worth looking at for each person. Okay, so let me get back to the message now. Let's see. So, starting with the next paragraph. Now you must begin to look at every idea that teaches you that you are what you are not. Many of these ideas are sly and tricky, and they will continue to fool you for a time. But they will not fool you forever, because you are the true Son of God. Where you have given your willingness, experience must follow. So one thing that Spirit is telling us is that we will probably make some mistakes. And of course, that makes perfect sense if you think about it, because some of the ideas that are in our mind that define who I think I am and define what I think is important, those ideas are so ingrained, they seem so natural to us, that it takes a little bit of poking in some cases before they pop up and we realize, oh, that's not a fact, that's a false idea. You know, so it is true that some of these ideas, he uses the words of sly and tricky, but for me, they've just been a part of who we have thought we were for so long that we've ceased to notice them as just ideas or false ideas. They do seem to be who I am and what is important and what is right and what is wrong. So it does take a little bit of poking sometimes. It takes just the right situation to have something pop up that we've always just believed without questioning, to then look at it and notice, oh, wait a minute. That's not a true idea. That's not a fact. That's not just the way it is. That's a false idea. So again, you know, we may be fooled for a while. You know, we're not going to instantly notice every idea that makes up our personality and let it go. But over time, Spirit is saying, you know, this will occur. We will not be fooled forever. And of course, the more willing we are to let go of the personality, the more we'll start seeing these little things popping up and go, oh, wait a minute, there's another one. You know, so, and we can start playing that game of letting go of the personality. Holy Spirit continues. I think I read this paragraph, but I feel like reading it again, so what the heck, let's go back and read it again. Now you must begin to look at every idea that teaches you that you are what you are not. Many of these ideas are sly and tricky, and they will continue to fool you for a time, but they will not fool you forever, because you are the true Son of God. Where you have given your willingness, experience must follow. Maybe I didn't finish reading it before. This has always been one of those sentences that has stuck in my mind ever since Spirit gave me. Where you have given your willingness, experience must follow. You know, sometimes when you're on what I call a new step to on the stairway to heaven, a brand new step, it's like you're starting all over again. And whatever Spirit is asking you to learn or let go of, sometimes when you first noticed the new task, I'll call it for lack of better words, when you first noticed the new task that has to be accomplished, sometimes that seems impossible. It seems so far out of reach. How can I let go of that, or how can I realize that? And for me, the very first step is always willingness. It's always willingness. Okay, I don't know how I will do that, but I give my willingness for it to be done. And so I love this sentence, where you have given your willingness, experience must follow. I don't have to know how to let go of personality, or I don't have to know how to let go of ingrained beliefs, or I don't have to know how to even see ingrained beliefs. I just have to give my willingness. And where I give my willingness, the experience will follow. And of course, the more consistent I am in giving my willingness, the more heartfelt that willingness, the better. So again, where you have given your willingness, experience must follow. Next paragraph. You want to talk about the thoughts you are afraid to see and the feelings you continue to deny. I see there is some confusion about what is right or wrong to do with these thoughts and feelings as you begin to look at them. I also see there is fear you will continue to deny against your will. I ask you first to step back and remember that you are master. This will not be difficult to do because you have accepted this as true. And if you are master, then every experience must come from you. This includes the experience of being confused about what you do. So some of what we experienced in this phase of the process of awakening was confusion. Laurent had a name for it. He called it being retarded. Sometimes we experience being retarded. And I think it feels retarded when you are going back and forth between incredible clarity and then that getting all lost again. Because you have the memory of being clear on this yesterday. You know, yesterday, you know, when Laurent and I discussed this, there was clarity. And now today, we're like, it's gone. You know, what happened? And that was just a phase we were going through at that time. I personally do not experience that anymore. I now seem to have a consistent clarity. But at this point in our awakening, I did not experience consistent clarity. It would come, I would know it, and then it would seem to go, and I would lose it. And so ego loves to jump on the inconsistency there and tell us that something is very wrong with us, that we're very bad, that we must be doing something wrong, we'll never get it, you know, we're complete idiots. And spirit is not saying that. And the spirit is not denying our experience, because that would be silly. That was our experience. But spirit is just acknowledging. He says, again, I see there is some confusion about what is right or wrong to do, right? I see that there is fear that you're going to continue to deny your clarity against your will. You know, I just ask you to step back, he says, and remember that you are the master. And when he says, remember that you are the master, he's referring to a previous message that he gave Laurent and I, which really is very similar to the responsibility for sight section of A Course in Miracles. The message says that every experience that we experience comes from us through our will, our desire, our willingness. So one thing he is telling us at this point is that if we are feeling confused, it is literally because we still have the desire or the want or the will to be confused. And he's not telling us this so that we will judge ourselves. It is never spirit's intent to judge ourselves. But there was a feeling of victim there that needed to be taken care of. There was a feeling of being victim to the ego, victim to the confusion. And this needed to be taken care of. We needed to see that we were not victims to confusion, that, you know, you could argue we just weren't fully ready to be clear all the time yet. And in fact, do I have any NTIs laying around? Yes, I do. You'd think I'd always have NTIs laying around, but, you know, I carry them from room to room, and sometimes there's not one right in reach where I am, but this time we're lucky. I'm going to turn to NTI John chapter 3, I think it is. It might be chapter 2. But when I get there, I will know. I want to read one of my favorite paragraphs from NTI John. It's such a perfect paragraph. Okay, it's the last paragraph of NTI John chapter 2. It's on page 190. Let there be light. Now I can see. Let's read. Okay, listen to this paragraph. Listen very carefully to what this paragraph says. If you see darkness within the world, it is darkness you have asked to see. If you witness the light, but do not know the light within yourself, this is the welcome you have given it. If the light seems with you at times and absent at other times, your welcome is not yet consistent. And if you know the light in all that you see and experience, you have opened yourself to it and it has enveloped you. So you can see that NTI has the exact same teaching, that if we are inconsistent in our clarity, it's literally because at this point we are still choosing to be inconsistent in our clarity, right? So moving on with the message then. Confusion is a veil over the power of light, just as fear is a veil that hides the light from you. Sometimes confusion seems strong. This is because the power of light is strong. Realizing this is helpful, but it seems to fall short of your goal when you feel you need to know what to do. I'm going to stop there for just a second. I understand, I believe, what Spirit is talking about here. all of my spiritual life, which has been like since 2004, all of my conscious spiritual life, meaning, you know, since I've chosen the path knowingly, Spirit has told me that when you're in confusion, when you're in fear, when you're upset, do nothing, right? Just wait, observe, and let this pass. When you're back in peace, right? When you're in peace, when you're in joy, then make decisions, then do whatever you feel to do. Well, even though Spirit has told me that over and over, you know, sometimes it takes a bit of time before we really fully realize the wisdom in what we're being told. And so what happens is that not only me and Laurent, but I know that many people make this same error. So let's go ahead and put on our glasses and look at this error. We'll be in confusion, and while we're in confusion, we want guidance. We want to know what to do. And somehow when we want to know what to do while we're in confusion, it just makes the confusion bigger or makes the confusion more frightening. Well, that has never been Spirit's guidance to me, to find guidance while in confusion. The guidance has always been to wait, to do nothing, to wait until the confusion passes, to do nothing, to give it no more energy. So that's just something for us to look at is let's not go looking for guidance during moments of confusion, moments of upset, moments of fear. Let's practice our rest, accept, and trust then, right? Let that pass, and then our guidance will come. Okay, let's go back to what Spirit says here again, starting at the top of the paragraph. Confusion is a veil over the power of light, just as fear is a veil that hides the light from you. Sometimes confusion seems strong. This is because the power of light is strong. Realizing this is helpful, but it seems to fall short of your goal when you feel you need to know what to do. I ask you to look closely now at why you feel you need to know what to do. If you look closely with me, you will see that your desire to know comes from a belief that you could decide wrongly, or that you could be right. And you want to be right because to be wrong is to be the sinful son of God. Now this is an error, again, that many of us make. So let's put our glasses back on. Many of us make the mistake of believing that we need to know Spirit's guidance, and we need to follow Spirit's guidance, and we need to make choices according to Spirit's guidance, or we are bad. That is an error thought. And this is the thought the Spirit is looking at with us. In fact, let's go ahead and move on to the next paragraph. Spirit says, if you look at this slowly, in the mind with me. So again, make sure you have your glasses on. Can everybody see? Turn on the light. Make sure you can see. If you look at this slowly in the mind with me, you will see this belief goes very deep. You will feel the strong grip it seems to have on your chest and in your heart. You believe very deeply that you could be wrong, and in this belief you are afraid to move. Now I'm remembering, you know what it seems like, Laurent and I in form, you know, he was in Paris, I was in North Carolina, we're going through, you could say, two different things at the same time. And we both had confusion about, again, what to do. We were in confusion, and we had confusion about what to do. I don't remember Laurent's story exactly. I kind of like have a vague remembering of it. Seems like it had something to do with a friend, but I could be wrong. Yeah, it did. Okay, I'm sure he remembers his story. I don't remember it specifically, but you had something there. I had, this is back in that time, when I had someone calling me a lot, and what the person was asking for was really not appropriate. Basically what the person wanted was a sexual relationship. In the beginning, a sexual relationship with me. When Laurent and I joined together, and of course I made it very clear that I was in a relationship with someone else, this person was willing to move into a sexual relationship with both of us. The calls that were coming, you don't remember that? Yeah, that's true. The calls that were coming often, multiple times a day. The emails were coming even more frequently than that. And I was becoming very, very afraid. I think I talked to you guys a little bit about this before. Hold on, I'm getting looked at. Yes, ma'am?
I can hear you. I'm very angry now.
Oh, she she says she can hear us. Okay, anyway, back to what I was talking about. I was very confused because I was listening to what I'm going to call spiritual ego. That was telling me that I needed to be kind and loving towards all of my brothers. Now, I didn't have any confusion that I should have sex with this person. But I did have confusion about the fact that I should not have returned the emails and should not have answered the phone. I was returning the emails and answering the phone to say no. You know, to say no, but to say no because it seemed like... I don't know how else to say this. It just seemed like I was doing something wrong by not answering the phone and not returning the emails. And as I was going through this, the situation was getting worse and worse and worse. And I was very confused about what to do. I think I told you a story a couple weeks ago, and this is in that same time frame, remember, where it appeared that this person threatened to kill Laurent and I. Remember I told you, later I understood it was a misunderstanding, but he said he wanted to blow us away. He had guidance to blow us away. So this is still in that story. I've already told you guys the end of the story. You know that later it was healed. But this is prior to the healing. Okay, this is prior to the healing. So this was my confusion. At this time I have these calls coming all of the time, these emails coming all of the time. I'm very afraid, and I don't know what to do. And I am afraid. I'm very afraid. What really complicates it is that if I make the wrong choice about what to do, I'm doing something really bad. Like, I have to know my guidance. I have to know, is my guidance answer the phone, or is my guidance not answer the phone? And it's a very simple thing. You pick up a phone or you don't. But in the confusion of the mind, when you believe that spirit only guides in one way, and if you pick the wrong way, you've done something terrible, you've committed some sin, well, you can be paralyzed. And that's what spirit is talking about. I was at the height of confusion here. I was paralyzed. Do I answer the phone, not answer the phone? And in my mind, it's a sin if I make the wrong choice. Okay, let me get a drink and then we'll go back. If you look at this slowly in the mind with me, you will see this belief goes very deep. That again is the belief that I could make a right choice or a wrong choice, right? You will feel the strong grip it seems to have on your chest and in your heart. You believe very deeply that you could be wrong, and in this belief, you are afraid to move. Yeah, and Laurent is describing it as walking on eggshells. Spirit continues. Stop here. Looking directly at your fear. Again, check your glasses. Make sure you have them on. Stop here. Looking directly at your fear. Forget for a moment the particular decision that needs to be made. Look only at the belief that needs to be let go. With the problem forgotten and the belief clearly in view, what do you know is best for you to do now? You do know it is best to step away from the problem of form and take time to look solely at the mind. So Spirit is saying, at least to me, again, I don't remember the specifics of Laurent, but I know he had something very similar going on at the same time. The Spirit is saying, quit thinking about whether you should answer the phone or not answer the phone. Quit thinking about that. Step back and look at the belief that if you make the wrong choice, you're guilty. That's what I want you to look at. I want you to look at the belief that if you make the wrong choice, you're guilty. Because that error is adding to your confusion here. It's keeping you paralyzed. He continues, when you step away to look solely at the mind, there will be a lot to see. So we're going to see even more as we start looking at this point. Your role is to look at it, and to look at it with me. There will be temptations to judge. Watch those temptations pass by. You will want to think and feel confusion. Notice what you want and let it pass by. You will want to fix things and change things and know again what to do. You are noticing the thinking that goes on in the mind. Now, in this case, it seems to me like when I was working with this, I was sitting on my bed. So what this is saying to me is set back on your bed. Set back, lean up against a pillow, and just watch the mind's tricks. Don't do anything. Don't make any decisions. Just watch the mind's tricks. Watch the mind as it tries to tell you that if you answer the phone when you weren't supposed to, you're guilty, or if you don't answer the phone when you were supposed to, you're guilty. Watch that. Notice how much you want to judge yourself for not knowing what to do, for not knowing your guidance. Watch that. Notice that I'm asking you to just sit and watch your mind. Notice how much you want to think. Notice how much you want to analyze. Notice how much you might want to remember things from previous messages or A Course in Miracles or NTI and apply it here, but you're trying to do it all with thinking. Notice how much the mind doesn't want you to just sit and watch. Notice how it keeps trying to get you to think. Notice all the different ways it tries to get you to think. Start to pay attention that really the mind doesn't even care if you answer the phone or don't answer the phone. What the mind cares about is that you think. Notice that if it starts bringing one angle at you and you don't follow that angle, notice the mind comes in with a completely different angle. In fact, notice that sometimes the mind's angles completely conflict. If the mind starts telling you a story about why you should answer the phone and blah, 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 right, and you're guilty if you don't, and you don't buy that story, you say no and you let that go, pretty soon the mind comes in with the opposite story. You shouldn't answer the phone, blah, 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 and you're guilty if you do. Notice that the mind is just saying whatever the hell it can say in an attempt to get you to listen to it. Notice that that's what's really going on here. It wants, Laurent says, it wants your attention, your love, your light. And then he says the juice. And I believe he's referring to the juice of I am. Yes, which is the same as the power of light. In a conversation with Laurent, Muji, whom now we've mentioned, and so he's a part of this teaching, Muji referred to the juice of I am. He said, everything runs on the juice of I am. That's the same as the teaching that Holy Spirit gave Laurent and I when he says, everything runs on the power of light. Remember, he asked Laurent when he was in intense fear to notice just the intensity of the fear. Don't pay attention to the stories or what the fear was about, but notice how intense it was. Feel the intense, intense fear, or it could be intense, intense hatred. It doesn't matter. Feel the intensity. And know that's the power of light. That's the intensity of light. That's the juice of I am. And like Laurent is saying here, that's what the ego wants. The ego wants your attention. The power of light from you. It wants your attention, the power of light. It wants the juice of I am. And it's just going to try everything. Now, if we're easy and we go for the first story that ego throws into our mind, that's cool for ego. But if we're trying to observe, if we're trying to sit back on the pillows, on the bed, and not give the juice of I am to the thinking mind, it's going to keep trying, and it's going to try different stuff, and it's going to try harder, and it's really going to take a lot of will or willingness on our part to just watch. It'll even tell us just watching is not enough, right? If you just watch this, it'll never heal. You have to do something more. You have to do something more. It doesn't tell you what. It just wants you to get scared about the fact that you have to do something more. It wants you to give that idea your juice through fear, right? But Spirit is asking us just to sit back and watch, notice, observe. And if we do that, we will begin to see exactly what the mind is up to. And if we see clearly with our glasses properly focused and the light, you know, shining well, if we see what the mind is really up to, we actually then also increase our willingness not to give it the juice of I am. Okay, so going back to the message then, I'm going to read the last paragraph again and then I'll move forward. When you step away or lean back on your pillows to look solely at the mind, there will be a lot to see, which we've just talked about. Your role is to look at it and to look at it with me. See that? That's your job. There will be temptations to judge. That's something you're just going to look at. Watch those temptations pass by. You will want to think and feel confusion. Notice what you want and let it pass by. Don't give it your juice. You will want to fix things and change things and know again what to do. Notice all of that, right? You are noticing the thinking that goes on in the mind. All right, now Holy Spirit continues. Yesterday, I asked you to be grateful for awareness. Awareness comes from watching with me. As you are aware of the patterns of thinking, you awaken to the habitual doing you used to do. As you awaken to this doing and the patterns that have driven you, you will lose interest in listening to patterns that come only from habit. If you read the teachings of Inner Ramana, in the very first message, he tells us that our role is to lose interest in the mind. That's our role, to lose interest in it. And maybe now we're starting to see why, because when we're interested in it, when we're giving it our attention, we're giving it our juice, right? We're giving it the power of light. And so Spirit is telling us if we will sit back and watch it, even as it's working very, very hard to get our attention, and just watch, just watch, just watch. Pay attention, see all the tricks, see all the angles, see all the things. Pretty soon we will see that all it's trying to do is get my juice. It doesn't really care whether I answer the phone or not. That's not its real goal. I was deluded when I thought the decision was important. It's just trying to get my juice. So as you are aware of the patterns of thinking, you awaken to the habitual doing you used to do. We gave our juice. A thought came, we gave our juice. As you awaken to this doing and the patterns that have driven you, you will lose interest in listening to the patterns that come only from habit. You will become interested in becoming more consciously aware. This desire for awareness will bring knowledge into your mind, because as you discard the habits that blocked knowledge, knowledge is naturally known. In this knowledge, you will also know what to do. It will come naturally and without thought, as if it is a part of the flow. And this, of course, is being in touch with yourself at a higher level, because you have become open to know. So again, Spirit is telling us that when we are in confusion or any type of upset, fear, hatred, that's not the time to seek our guidance about what to do. That's the time to sit back and watch the mind and notice its tricks. Notice what the mind really wants and decide not to give it. Decide not to give it our juice, the power of light. Wait for it to pass. It will pass if you do not give it your power. And then when it passes and we're back into a state of calmness, peace, clarity, joy, then we will be in the flow and we will know what to do. So there's a time to sit on the bed and there's a time to move around and do stuff. We need to know the difference. Okay, Laura Blue, I see your hand is up. What have you got? Okay, let's see. This is the first time that I noticed there is a reference to time, as in this sentence you had the word yesterday. Are there other instances of this? Also, when HS, Holy Spirit, refers to a specific time, does that not make time more real? As we know, Holy Spirit does meet us where we are at. When Holy Spirit talks to Laurent and me at this time, Holy Spirit talks to Laurent and me as if we are two people needing to awaken, two people who experience confusion and need to let go of it. None of that is true either. That's not our truth, right? Our truth is the self that is unchanging and always at peace. But when Spirit talks to us, remember, Spirit is able to see both the illusion that we believe in and the truth that is real. And Spirit's job is to guide us to the truth that it's real, that is real. But in order to do that, it needs to meet us where we are and guide us. You know, again, if you go to like a theme park, you know, and look at a map, and if you want to get to a specific roller coaster, in order to get to a specific roller coaster, first you have to find that red dot where you're at. And then once you know where you're at, you know how to move from where you are to the roller coaster. We can't ignore where we're at in the moving toward a new place. So I would say that's the answer to your question, Laura Blue, is that Spirit does not always speak truth. And if anyone who has followed Spirit long enough knows that, in fact, Spirit will often teach you an idea that is helpful for a time and ask you to use that idea. And then later, as you ascend the stairway to heaven, Spirit will come back and ask you to let go of that same specific idea that Spirit gave you. So Spirit does not always speak truth. What Spirit always does is point you toward truth. And there's a difference there. And Laura Blue, do you have something else, or is your hand just still up? Follow up. Should we meet HS where HS is, or should HS meet us where we are? Well, wonderful to meet HS where HS is if you have the ability to do that. But not everyone does. And so HS meets us where we are. That's the answer to that question. Not everyone would even know how to meet HS where he is. If they did, I'm sure they would. All right, so back to the message. Let's see. Cutting thoughts and feelings, which is defined as denying them too quickly. This is the experience of when a thought shows up in the mind. So like if I have the thought, you know, I hate so-and-so. That thought scares me because I'm afraid of hate, and I quickly deny the thought. I just stop it. I cut it out of fear. I'm afraid. I don't want to look at it. That's a thought I don't want to even think about, right? Because I'm afraid of it. That's cutting thoughts, okay? Cutting thoughts and feelings or denying them too quickly is a reaction of fear. Again, this can be looked at slowly with me. When you cut what you are thinking, you are judging that you are wrong. So let's step away from the idea that has been cut and look directly at the thought that led to the action of cutting. Now, one thing that's very interesting is Holy Spirit does ask us, Jesus does ask us, both through A Course in Miracles and NTI, to deny what is not true. However, when they ask us to deny what is not true, they are talking about denying through wisdom. You know, so the thought comes up, I hate so-and-so, and with wisdom I look at that and say, that's not true, that's not who I am, and I let it go. Denying through wisdom is different than denying through fear. Denying through fear is being afraid to admit to myself, otherwise someone else, that I had those thoughts. And the reason I'm afraid to admit that those thoughts are in my mind, the reason I want to avoid those thoughts, if I could run away from those thoughts, is because I believe I am bad for having those thoughts in the mind. So we're back to the belief that I'm bad again, right? Holy Spirit continues, can you imagine cutting without the feeling of guilt? Can you deny a thought or feeling and not see yourself as wrong? Can you celebrate the choice to cut another thought or deny another feeling? As you choose to enjoy that which scares you now, you choose to act from a different belief in the mind. So what Spirit is really doing here is he is asking us to look at cutting. He's still using the same language. Look at cutting differently. He's trying to shift us from cutting from fear, which is not helpful, into cutting from wisdom, which is perfectly helpful. Again, cutting from wisdom is recognizing that the true I, who I really am, doesn't even want this thought. Therefore, I'm not going to follow it, right? That's cutting from wisdom. And he's saying, can you imagine cutting from wisdom instead of from guilt, from fear, from the belief that you're wrong? Can you imagine looking at that thought and saying, that's simply not a thought I want? And then not following it? Because he doesn't want us to follow the thoughts. But he wants us to look at that underlying intent and that underlying belief. He says, as you choose to enjoy that which scares you now, you choose to act from a different belief in the mind. You choose to act from innocence and freedom instead of a belief in guilt and rules. Acting from innocence and freedom will lead to a change in habits simply because you will become more aware. You will become aware of habits. You will see that the false isn't true. And you will become aware of your power as you see that everything comes from you. So again, Spirit is trying to get us to look at the positive use of denial, right? The helpful use of denial. Spirit would never encourage us to follow a false thought. You know, that's encouraging us to walk into the woods of fantasy. Spirit does want us to deny the thoughts, but he doesn't want us to deny them because we're afraid we're bad for having them. That's ego. Spirit wants us to deny them because with the wisdom of what we are, we know that we don't even want them. That's just a thought I don't want. I'm not interested in it. Therefore, I deny it as my thought, deny it as true, put it aside, and that story's not going to run in my mind. The positive use of denial. Holy Spirit says, celebrate awareness. And again, by awareness in this case, what he is referring to is the waking up to what our mind is doing, the watching our mind, the becoming aware of our mind as the observer instead of from the perspective of just thinking that's me and my thoughts. Becoming aware of the mind as just trying to get the juice of I am. Just trying to get our attention, right? And all the different things it does to try and get our attention. Celebrate awareness. Be grateful for it. You are the amazing Son of God, and your true desire is leading your choices now. You become truly aware of the old choices you have made. Oh, sorry. As you become truly aware of the old choices you have made, you will relinquish the old habits and choose through a lens of newness now. So as you become truly aware of the old choices you have made. I want to point out, notice that Holy Spirit is not talking to me about whether I should answer the phone or not. Do you see that? Holy Spirit knows that when I am back into clarity, I will know whether to answer the phone or not. That is not the issue, and that's where we get so confused. We think that the choice, the what to do in form, is the issue. That is not the issue. The issue is these beliefs that keep me from knowing my own guidance. these beliefs that I'm bad, right? The issue is giving the stories in the mind my attention, letting ego take me wherever ego wants me to take, spinning and in circles and going around. So Spirit isn't talking to me right now about whether to answer the phone or not. The truth is, I already had that guidance. I'd had that guidance for months. It was completely covered up. And when I got through this and got back to clarity, the guidance was also clear. The guidance was already known. The guidance was already given. The mind was just stealing my attention away from my knowing. And this is what I needed to see. I needed to learn not to give the mind my attention. I needed to learn that was the error I was making. I needed to stop being afraid of being bad and letting that paralyze me. Okay, I see a question here. Let me get... Hey, Regina, do you think that having old songs running in your head is an attempt of the mind ego to rob one's attention? Oh, this is another question that I cannot give a specific yes or no to, because the truth is it can be either. Now, I will tell you that we went on a silent retreat last year for 5 days, me and about 19 of my friends. And one thing that we noticed on the silent retreat is how the ego tried to keep itself alive. And one friend did notice that the ego was, she called it the DJ ego. It was constantly running songs in her mind just to keep her attention. However, my other friend right here in the room, Laurent, Holy Spirit frequently speaks to him through songs by running a song in his mind. And Laurent totally understands the guidance that comes with it. So this is not a question that has a yes or no answer. Each individual needs to look within themselves and find out the answer about those songs. So sometimes yes, sometimes no, which was the answer I gave to another question. But sometimes that's the way it is. Okay. So, celebrate awareness. Be grateful for it. You are the amazing Son of God, and your true desire is leading your choices now. As you become truly aware of the old choices you have made, which would have been giving the thinking mind our juice, you will relinquish old habits, like stop listening to that thinking mind, and choose through a lens of newness now. The lens of newness is the lens of awakening. It is the lens of knowing that the truth has always been true. And this message is not done, so it looks like it's going to be a two-parter. Because we are pretty much out of time here. So I will mark where I finished. Laurent says, yep, he agrees with me. I am going to go back, since I have a couple minutes, I'm going to go back and comment on what Laurent just wrote. He says, because in his case, songs seem to cut through the thinking for him. So see how it's not always the same? In his case, the thinking tries to get his juice, and the song is Holy Spirit's way of bringing him back so he's not listening to the thinking. Otherwise, he might be following that thinking and getting caught up in it. As I mentioned, another friend felt like the songs in her case were just keeping her from paying attention to her intuition, from focusing on truth. You know, they were a distraction. And I did live with Laurent, of course, so I do know how songs speak to him. And I also trust my other friend completely when she felt that songs were a distraction for her. One thing I made a post on this morning on Facebook was that we each need to find our own authentic path. That means we each need to know our own guidance. We each need to find the answers for ourselves. But based on what we've learned tonight, let's not try to do it when we're feeling the height of confusion and fear and guilt. That's not the time to be searching for our guidance. That's the time to follow the guidance we've already been given. Rest, accept, and trust. Let this pass. When this passes, we will know our guidance. Okay, that's it for me. I'm going to let go of the mic. Where are you guys teaching from?
Right there.
We're just going to log off and then log
on. Okay, so I'm going to let go of the mic. They said they're going to log off and log back on. I'm going to stop my recording and save it real quick. So, Dove, if you want to talk for just a couple minutes while we do those things here, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay.